Welcome to another week of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have my friend Tim Vodak, who has joined me at the Speakeasy Studio for this week's episode. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you having me.
Now, you said you brought me something that I haven't had on the podcast yet. And from, you know, a lot of our friendship, you're always serving me beer anyways. So this is nothing weird.
That is true.
So what'd you bring?
Usually I do serve you some beer. Today I brought from the great state of Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
Drink Wisconsinably, canned old fashions.
Oh, canned old fashions. What?
Yeah.
Sweet. I thought, you know, you told me you were going to bring something. I was expecting beer.
No. I even brought you a 4-pack you can keep, so there you go.
What a guy. I keep getting gifts. So, okay, now this is just basically a pre-made brandy old-fashioned, huh?
Correct. So if you've heard of Drink Wisconsinably, they've done like t-shirts and like koozies, stickers, all these different kitschy things that say Drink Wisconsinably on it. And then they got into the brandy business, as all good things from Wisconsin start with a good brandy old-fashioned. And then they kind of reverse engineered their brandy old-fashioned from their bar in Milwaukee, and then they made it into a canned old-fashioned. It's only, I think, 4.5% alcohol, pretty low alcohol content. 7%, I'm sorry.
7.
Oh, man. Bad salesman here. But 7% alcohol content. So depending, I always say, like, depending on how you like your old-fashioned, if you're pouring a heavy pour, it's a little lighter than that. But for somebody like you that golfs, that goes out on the boat, perfect. You don't have to take all the ingredients with you. So.
Yeah, it even says from basements to beaches and pontoons to parking lots, pour it over ice, sip it straight from the can.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Dude, this is awesome. I didn't even know these existed, so I'm very happy that you brought something different.
They just became legal to sell in Minnesota September 1st of this year. So
cheers,
they're
Tim.
Pretty new. Cheers.
Oh my gosh, it tastes like it.
Right? You can taste the bitters, the orange, the sweetness and the brandy, the best part.
Oh my gosh, this is, you don't taste any alcohol.
No.
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, there's alcohol in it, but just tasting it is just like a normal drink that you almost a cinnamony flavor.
Yeah.
I love
the bitters in there. Yeah.
This is good.
Right?
I was so expecting beer from you. It says cheese curd not included on it.
Yeah, sorry. Perfect. I didn't bring any of those. Sorry. Nope.
Wait, you didn't bring cheese curds for
I know,
us?
Right?
What the my heck? Gosh. Oh, damn. Well, it's glad to have you here. I know you contacted me a couple months ago and you said, hey, I would love to come on if we got a chance. So here we are with the chance. And as I was telling everyone on the podcast here, you usually serve me some beers because I see you at so many events throughout town. I know if I go to some sort of event, especially if there's a beer tasting or a wine tasting, Tim's going to be there.
Yeah.
And you always are there taking care of me.
Yeah.
One free pour at a time.
Try to. It's a little heavier pour sometimes for you. So
do you work for an alcohol distribution or do you just
So my main volunteer? 9-to-5 job is I work for Benchmark here in Winona.
Okay.
Do talent acquisition. But my background was in restaurants. I ran Culver's for 25 years, give or take, here in Winona. My family did.
Okay.
And then bartended for a long time in college. I had a friend that worked at Hy-Vee here in Winona at the liquor store, Pang Carter. And she's like, hey, I know you like to bartend. Would you ever be interested in doing some brand ambassador work for these companies? I was like, yeah, sure. Sign me up. So she got me connected with Surly. I'd done events for them for the last 2 years. And then this company, Drink Wisconsinably, they have a little gift shop in the outlet mall in Wisconsin Dells. We went there last year, and I ran into who's my boss basically now for them. And I ran into them there, and I was like, hey, do you ever need any brand ambassadors over in our neck of the woods, you know, La Crosse area? And he's like, yeah. And fast forward like a year later, I've been doing stuff for them here in Winona, I don't know, about 3 or 4 times right now. So
now I've been to that store. It's at the Outlet Mall in the Dells.
Yep.
And I just thought it was like some sort of Wisconsin souvenir place.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. And I've seen this. I think I saw this at Lightning Kugels. They sold something there, Drink Wisconsinably. I thought they did. Maybe not.
They partnered with them for a little bit on something, yeah.
And I just thought it was just a souvenir shop or something like that. I didn't realize it was a brand for alcohol. Well, okay, now I got another question because you keep saying brand ambassador. What does that mean? Because I've seen that, I've heard it, but I don't know what that means.
A brand ambassador basically just means that you're selling that product. So, like, or sampling it out, I guess. So I do, like I said, I do stuff for Surly. I do stuff for Drink Wisconsinably. I've dabbled in another company called Modern Talent, and that's literally like a multitude of stuff. My wife does stuff for Winebow, so she samples out wine at like Hy-Vee. It's just a good little side gig that, you know, you get to have fun with, and sometimes you get to go home with a few leftovers, so sure. It's always fun. So,
do you get compensated for something like that or not?
It depends on the company, I guess, but okay. Yeah, you get paid for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So would you just like write to them and say, hey, I'd like to be a brand ambassador?
It's more so like who you know, I think.
Okay.
If you know the right people. Like I knew Pang at Hy-Vee, and she kind of got me connected to the right people. So
it's all who fun. You know, huh?
Yeah, it helps when you're like are passionate about the brand. Like I like Surly. I like their whole brand. I like Drink Wisconsinably. You know, my background is sales and marketing, so you can sell, you know, ice to an Eskimo if you're passionate about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So of all those, which one do you do the most of then? Do you do Surly or do you do this now more? Or does it kind of all just
depend? It just kind of depends what's going on. Like we did a couple events this summer with Surly down here in Winona. But it just depends what's going on.
Do you work at the beer tour?
I did the craft beer tour the last 2 years, with Surly.
Okay, you have some fun with that then?
Until it poured down rain this last year, yeah.
Dude, how many years has it been? Like 5 years?
Yeah.
I think it's downpoured at least 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Before it was like extremely, extremely hot the 1 year. But last year, was like in half an hour to go and it was just a monsoon, basically.
Yep. Yeah, and I couldn't make that one because I can't remember, birthday party or something I was at. Sure. So I couldn't go to that one. It's the first one out of the since they've been here that I haven't been to. And I always have a great time there at those. So are all those people there either brand ambassador or owners usually?
Like the craft beer tour, I think it kind of depends because like that last one we went to for the Affair for Animals, that was put on by Hy-Vee.
Sure.
So some of it was brand ambassadors for companies. I know a lot of it was just Hy-Vee employees that they asked.
Yep. And you're not a Hy-Vee employee?
No.
Nope. You're just helping out?
I just help out where I can.
Which one? You had Surly this time, didn't you?
Yeah, I was doing Surly at the Affair for Animals.
Yeah. There was one that I kept coming back for. I can't remember which one it was. It was really good, though. I can't remember now. I think it was a newer one that just come out, but you hooked me up. You usually give me a can or two by the time the end of the night happens. Like,
I don't remember what we were sampling out of that one, but
gosh, there was like, I think it was a black and gold can at one point, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
So you got hooked up with Drink Wisconsinably just by going into the store and saying, hey,
yeah,
do you need anyone to do it down this neck of the woods? And they said,
we exchanged contact information and a couple months went by and then my schedule at work kind of picked up and I wasn't able to do much for him. And then just the stars aligned that they became able to sell in Minnesota, and it works out great. So.
Sure. So you obviously enjoy this. Is this just kind of like a fun thing, on the like a hobby that you just kind of like to do? Kind of like I'm podcasting. I don't make any money from it myself right now at the moment, but it'd be great if I did someday. But, I mean, obviously you said you had a 9 to 5, and now you're doing this on the back end of weekends because the Affair for Animals is on a Friday. So it's like your weekend didn't start. You were working, but I don't know, that might not even seem like work to you.
No, I mean, it's just kind of just couples with all my like interests. Like I like to socialize with people. I like to, you know, talk up something that you're passionate about. And it's, yeah, usually weekends or a few nights. Like next week, possibly right before Christmas, I'm going to be doing brand ambassador work for Drink Wisconsinably because I'm off my normal job. So
sure. Is there other products that they have? Because I know they had beer, I think. Right.
So Drink Wisconsinably does the canned old fashions. They make their own brandy, their own vodka, and they do a canned cocktails as well. So there's an orange, cherry lime, and cranberry apple.
Okay, so they don't have any beer?
No.
Okay, so then when I saw that line at Kugel's, they were pairing up for something, then I think
I don't remember what that was. It was before my...
Before your existence.
Yeah.
So. Very cool. Okay, so I was expecting beer. So that's awesome that this is something that I had no idea about. And then you said that they just started being able to sell it in Minnesota?
Yeah, they got the licensing September 1st to sell it here in Minnesota. So here locally, I know they have these at Hy-Vee, the canned old fashions, and then Swenny at Highway 61 has everything that they have.
Sure. Yeah. So, I don't know if you know, you're going to know this question, but do you know what it takes to be able to sell from Wisconsin to Minnesota? Because that isn't New Glarus the same way.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother ball game.
Okay.
I don't know what the stipulations are. I'm sure, you know, it's different. Different states have different rules. But, yeah, New Glarus, that's a whole other ball game because I know they have some sort of licensing agreement that they solely can only sell in Wisconsin.
Sure.
To the point where it's like a crime if you, like, get caught transporting over state lines. So
I've had it on the podcast. Uh-oh.
Well, you didn't sell it, so.
I did not sell it. No,
no, you drank it. You're good.
So then, okay, so they just got licensed over here, so now we can actually go buy some.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, whether you're a Minnesota fan or a Wisconsin fan, it's over here. So now you work your 9 to 5, then you said you're at Benchmark. Correct. What are you doing there?
So I do talent acquisition, fancy word for recruiter.
Talent acquisition?
Yeah.
Nice. That is fancy.
Yeah. It's just a fancy word. It's a up and coming part of like industry though, because like companies can't handle their own recruiting, so they hire out or they hire people to work for them to find people to fill their jobs.
Is that what they would call a headhunter then? They were hiring someone else to do it?
Somewhat. A headhunter is more like you already have a job and I'm gonna try to recruit you for this company.
Oh, gotcha.
This is more like you come to us and I talk to you and facilitate the relationship.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's fun. I mean, it's like I said, I have a background in sales and marketing, so I'm selling the company to a candidate and I'm selling the candidate to the manager.
Gotcha.
Which goes back to if you're passionate about something, you can sell anything.
Yeah. So you're just kind of weeding out people then.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to find the good ones and say, hey, here's the one I believe is the best. Okay, great.
Yeah, here's the person that checks all the boxes for you. You should interview them. You should hire them. And then, yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
I started in November of 21, so just 3 years.
And then what were you doing before that? Because you said you had a background in sales and marketing.
For the longest time, I mean, my parents ran Culver's, and I ran the Culver's up here for them.
Okay.
I did dabble into car sales for a couple of years. Worked at a car dealership back home in southern Wisconsin. But, I mean, I started at Culver's when I was 14, and we sold the restaurant when I was 3 years ago, 37. So.
Okay. So you were there for quite some time. Yeah. So you have a very large background in the food industry.
Yeah. If you hear Culver's, like, it's blue, I bleed blue. I mean, I still bleed blue, even though I haven't worked there for 3 years. It just, you know, it was part of my life.
Yeah. Well, I was just telling someone this past week, and I told them that Tim's coming on the podcast. She goes, oh, I love Tim. I used to work at Hy-Vee when I, or not Hy-Vee, I'm sorry. I used to work at Culver's when I was in high school. And and she is Ashley Harrison. She was on the podcast. And she goes, oh, he's so great. And I worked
with
him.
We go way back.
Yeah, you go way back. And I remember a lot of kids from Hope Lutheran High School, I think, worked there too.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much her whole family did. So Amanda's family, and or Ashley and Amanda.
Yeah.
I can't remember the rest of her siblings. Sorry, Ashley. But
well, Angie was the oldest one. So.
Yeah, Angie worked there too. Yeah, yeah, there was a number of them. So
that's awesome. Now I know you're part of the community. I think you're very deep into the Winona community. But you said you're from southern Wisconsin originally.
Correct.
Where about?
Platteville, Wisconsin.
Oh, Platteville. Okay. Yeah. And then how'd you get over here?
My parents decided. So my mom. Quick story. My mom ran Culver's in Platteville. She wanted to own her own company, own her own business. So she decided, you know, they searched forever to find a place that they could build their own. Winona didn't have a Culver's, and it was kind of something the community wanted in 2000. So they bought the property where it is. They built it. And then I moved up here with them when I was 16, starting in between my sophomore and junior year of high school. So I came up here for that year. And yeah, that's kind of what brought us up to Winona.
So they literally just packed up and said, hey, we're moving to Winona because there's a need for a Culver's here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a little more planning to it. But,
sure, sure. But
yeah,
I mean, that's uprooting your whole life.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, how do you take it? Because you're in high school, so you're leaving all your friends.
As you can imagine, I didn't take it that well. I mean, I loved like doing the business side of it, but I was 16, 17, a high school junior, and I'm like, you know, Winona was a lot different than Platteville, like school-wise. So I was like, I don't know if I want to stick this out. So I turned 18 the summer after my junior year. And I had to talk to my parents. And I'm like, I'm going to move back to Platteville. My grandma still lived down there. I was 18. So I just rented an apartment by myself as a high school senior, lived on my own, and graduated high school down there. So
sure. And then you said you got into sales for cars?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, yeah. I mean, I went to school. Like most kids did, I decided to go to college because all my friends were doing it, and it just wasn't quite right for me. So I worked for a while at Culver's and bartended for a while, and then I finally went back to school, graduated in 2015. So there was a,
sure,
you know, like you say, most you know, if you go to school for 8 years, you should be a doctor. Well, I don't got that degree, but I got a couple of them, so it's all right.
That's good. So did you enjoy selling cars at all, or?
To a point, yeah.
To a point, yeah. I sold cars down in Atlanta, Georgia area for probably 4 months, and I was just sick of it because I didn't know anybody either. And someone comes in off the street, and they're like, well, I got an appointment with so-and-so. I'm like, cool, I can't do anything with that. And then there was a slight chance that someone's coming in looking at a car that didn't work with anybody, and I was like, oh, hopefully I can get them. And then it was like, not really. So it was and I was selling Kias. So it was hard to sell other than that they had a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Right.
So that's what I was selling. I'm like, eh, it was fun. It was fun for the time being. But if someone ever needed, like, they say, hey, you got it, we need a car because we're doing a dealer trade, and other people didn't want to do it, I'd be like, well, I'll do it for like $100. And they go, okay, sounds good. And I would drive like 6 hours in a day. I'm like, I'm probably not getting a sale on a Tuesday, so I'll just do your dealer trade and make $100 at least. It gets me the food on my table and stuff like that. So that's what I would do, because I remember one day I drove up in a Kia Soul. Oh, well, no. I had to do a Kia Soul trade up to Knoxville, Tennessee and back, and I think it was a 6-hour trip total.
Oh, boy.
And I know. I'm like, well, at least I made $100 that day, and probably wasn't going to sell a car on a Tuesday because nobody's coming in really on Tuesdays to sell cars. But down there in Georgia, it was 7 days a week. Yeah, Sundays were 12 to 6, but they were open from 9 to 9 on a lot of days. Fridays, Saturdays, you were working 9 to 9. That's 12. Wow. And then I remember one night, someone came in about 7 or 8 o'clock at night and bought a used car. I was there till 11 on a Friday, and I had to come back in the next day at 9 o'clock and work another 12 hours.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, you get paid hourly, and then whatever you make on commission, they would just take off of your check once you made a sale because they had to pay for your hourly. I'm like, holy Christ. I'm like, this is just miserable. I was there. I was down there to wrestle, obviously, as you know. I was down there to train. I'm like, I'm not doing any training down here anymore because I'm fully working at this car dealership, which I could do back in Winona anytime I want. So I eventually said, okay, that's enough. I'll work overnights at a hotel, and then I have my days free so I can do training for wrestling and then go on the weekends and wrestle somewhere. So I was just wondering how you enjoyed selling cars.
Yeah, definitely not those long hours. It was a good family dealership. I don't know, somewhere I got my water. Got Rundy Chevrolet Buick GMC. But they have a whole bunch of dealerships. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of cars they are licensed to sell. So, yeah, the dealership I worked at was a Chevy Buick GMC. I think I worked like Tuesday through Friday, 8-ish till 7. And then I worked Saturdays 8 to 2. And that was it.
Wow, 8 to 2 on a Saturday.
I think they changed their hours since then, but yeah, it was a good time.
Okay, so now you're back in Winona here, and I noticed someone told me that you were Volunteer of the Year, and I did research, and it's true.
It is true.
So, okay, how does one become Volunteer of the Year in Winona, Minnesota?
I mean, you have to ask the Winona Chamber of Commerce. They're the one who gave me the award, but really, like, you volunteer to, like, help out your community, help other people. You don't volunteer for recognition. I was pretty embarrassed when I got the award, and, like, everybody at Benchmark knew I was going to get it. And they're like, oh, you got to come to the chamber banquet. I was like, okay, we'll go. And my wife and I went to the banquet, and then, like, they do all the awards, and then they call it Volunteer of the Year, and I'm just like, huh? I was speechless. Didn't help I had oral surgery. I had, like, a tooth removed the week prior. So I was like on pain meds and I couldn't drink or anything. But I was just like speechless. I'm like, what? But I mean, it's just helping out, making Winona better, leaving a legacy and just helping out people. I mean, you know, there's Winona's 30,000 people. There's 3 colleges. There's, you know, multiple nonprofits. There's people who need help in the community. Sure. And you do whatever you can to help. And from, you know, volunteering for, you know, I volunteer for these events to pour alcohol, but it's an event to help the Humane Society, where we got our 2 dogs from. Like the Main Street program I like to volunteer for because I like downtown Winona. There's a lot to do, a lot of cool, you know, restaurants, shops, and just whatever I can do to help bring business to them. This time of year, like Christmas, you want to help out, you know, people who are less fortunate, either like the food shelf or the homeless shelter or Winona Angels program. I mean, whatever. So.
Holy smokes. You're part of a lot of things, it sounds like. Or at least you've done a lot of things. So now when it comes to that, is there some sort of criteria or just people get together and vote? And how does your name even get brought up, I guess? Are you part of the chamber?
I'm not part. Well, Benchmark is on the chamber.
Okay.
Or we're part of the chamber. But as far as I know, like the employees, so Christy and Kay and everybody that was there last year, they just kind of got together and picked me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you were speechless.
I was very speechless. I don't know. It just kind of like comes back. I know, you know, you were raised properly. I was raised properly. And, you know, like to say please and thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, treat others as you want to be treated. That's just kind of how my grandma and my mom raised me. So, yeah, I just try to do that every day. That's and I got a four-year-old. I mean, you got a little kid coming too. So,
that's right.
You know, you got to teach them right and leave a legacy. So hopefully we can both do that.
So did you have to give a speech? Or did they want you to give a speech?
I don't think so. I just went up and shook Christy's hand and said thanks, and that was it. So I don't know. I don't know if she wants a speech. Christy, if you watch us, if you want a speech, I guess I'll give you one.
We can redo that.
A much delayed speech from a year later.
Well, that's awesome. So you named off a bunch of things that you volunteer for. Can you go into detail about some of those? I mean, the Humane Society, we know what that is. That's to help out the animals and stuff. But you were naming some other ones off that I'm not even sure I heard of before. And if anybody else is listening, they may not have heard of before.
I mean, the big thing, I guess, to kind of like backtrack is like, you know, my upbringing and then working at Culver's. Culver's was big on giving back. So when we ran Culver's in town, we did a lot of fundraisers for like the schools. You know, we did stuff for Hope Lutheran. We did stuff for WAPS, for Winona Area Catholic Schools, for a multitude of stuff. So like doing that was a ton of fun and getting to connect to all these different organizations. But then one thing I always wanted to do when we ran Culver's is I always wanted to join the chamber. And I can never, you know, I was working there, but I wasn't paying the bills per se.
Right.
And I can never get my parents to kind of go for that. So when we sold the restaurant and I knew Benchmark was part of the chamber, I'm like, okay, what do I got to do to get involved? Because I knew there was a lot of positive things to do. So I was just like, I'm bad at saying no, you know? So, my wife will attest to that, but you know, anything, anybody's like, hey, do you want to join this? Do you want to help with this? If I can fit in my schedule, usually I'll say yes within reason.
Sure.
So yeah, just anything I could do, like the Humane Society. I don't volunteer there, but I mean, doing stuff for events that I can help with, I love to do. They got both of our dogs came from the Humane Society, so I like to try to help them out where I can. My wife, as you know, works at Merchants Bank. One of her coworkers, Dave, was in the Rotary Club as well.
Oh, I know Dave.
And he asked me to join Rotary, and then I joined Rotary, and then he asked me to be president, so I'm president for next year. There was an election. I ran unopposed, shockingly.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I'm president-elect for next year. For Rotary, and if anybody knows them, I mean, they do a lot of good in the community. Feed My Starving Children is a ton of fun, and we pack a ton of meals for needy people around the world. So
okay, now for those who don't know what a Rotary Club is, because they're everywhere, what is a Rotary Club? Can you explain? Is it tough to put your finger on one spot?
It's tough to really explain in one kind of blur, but I mean, it just kind of has the same mission. That I have, you know, it's like trying to get back to the community, trying to help out. And they just kind of follow their four-way test. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And is it beneficial to all concerned? And if it kind of fits in there, you know, it's something you want to be involved with as a Rotarian. So.
And then you talked about you guys are working with Feed My Starving Children.
Yeah.
What is that then? I mean, it kind of seems like it's pretty obvious what it is, but you said you packed a lot of meals.
Feed My Starving Children is a big organization that comes down here from the cities. They bring all the supplies, basically, and then we have to pack the meals for them, and we get tons of community members to join in to help. The last 2 years, it's been at the high school in the Commons, and it's just a great event. There's three shifts, and we pack, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was enough meals to feed 500 kids for a full year, which that's not that many, but when you think
for
of it
a whole year.
For a whole year.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of cool. And it's just seeing the community get involved for, you know, something like that, a project like that, is pretty awesome.
So. Sure. So you're now the president-elect coming up.
Correct.
How long is the president good for? Is it 1 year, 4 years, 2 years?
One year.
1 year. Yeah. So every year there could be someone new?
Yeah. Unless you're Dave. He was president for 2 years
because
no one else ran against him, I guess, the last time. So.
Oh, unopposed.
Yeah, he ran unopposed. So.
Were you wanting to do this, be the president, or kind of fell into your lap?
All good decisions happen over a beer.
Correct. Every good decision, too.
Me and Dave and a few others were sitting at Sliced one night, and he asked me if I wanted to be president, and I said sure. And I kind of expected other people to put their name in the hat. No one else did, and so here I am. But I'm totally fine with it. I'm happy to take the reins. So
what's it going to look like then? What is the job duties then of the president of the Rotary Club? Is there...
It's really just leading all the meetings. So every week they have their weekly meeting.
Oh, it's a weekly meeting.
It's a weekly meeting every Wednesday. So leading that and just kind of keeping everybody, you know, in check for all these committees that we have. So whether it be like the exchange student program or scholarship programs, multitude of stuff. So just kind of keeping everybody on the ball.
So what are some other things you volunteered for? You said Main Street, which is here in Winona, for those who are listening that aren't from Winona. You said you volunteered down for that as well because you enjoy the downtown, which I have been loving the downtown in this last year with all the new things coming around. Some of those things being the new restaurants, the new cocktail bars, stuff like that. It's been really kind of neat coming downtown now. It's like got some life to it. But what things have you volunteered then for the downtown? Because you're talking about the Main Street program as well.
Just any event that's going on, I try to have some sort of capacity at. They had all the stuff like swinging in the streets. I try to like at least attend one of those if I'm able to. But then, you know, Steamboat Days, I try to get involved with in some capacity. And then Big Muddy Brewing Q, I was on the planning committee for that. And just, you know, just trying to have keep my finger on the pulse, too. So if people ask, hey, what's going on downtown, I can say, hey, go to this event.
Sure.
You know, working in my job, we hire a lot of new people that come into the community. So trying to kind of point them in the right direction, give them the right resources, and if they want to get involved, too.
Okay. Is there one event that you do in Winona here that you volunteer for that's just like, this is exciting. I don't care that it's volunteer. It's just so fun to do. Like you just mentioned Steamboat Days, Big Muddy Brewing Q, that's been pretty cool lately. Obviously, you're kind of doing brand ambassador for the beer tour and stuff, the swinging in the streets for the downtown. Is there one that's like, I do this one, and this is it's so fun because of just fill in the blank? Is there anything that comes to mind?
I guess the other thing I didn't mention for like volunteering is NAMI, so National Alliance of Mental Illness.
Okay.
So that was one big thing we did when we ran Culver's is we were really passionate about, you know, mental health and suicide awareness and that kind of stuff. And then when we sold the restaurant, we didn't have like a capacity to kind of get involved with that. So my mom and I both reached out to some people and we found out about the NAMI chapter here in Winona. And it was like perfect timing. The lady who ran it, Helen Newell, was kind of getting to an age where she wasn't able to do as much as she liked. So she asked my mom to kind of take over. And so my mom took over NAMI. She's the president of that. But we do a lot of different events for that. And it's, you know, it's awesome to see people that you can help. And just, you know, if they need like support, mental health support, and sometimes they just want to listen to somebody. They want somebody to listen to them. Sometimes they're just not sure where to turn. Those are like the best events. We've done like tabling events. Engage Winona put on an event at Peter's Beer Garden this summer where we had parents come in and are like people in the community come in. And they're like, hey, I have a kid that's going through this. They're bipolar. What do I do? You know, where should I turn? And like, we've been able to help these people and kind of give them the resources and see like, hopefully they've improved. And that's kind of the most positive thing is when you see like an improvement in somebody's like mental health.
Sure. So what does it stand for then again? I think you said,
it was National Alliance of Mental Illness.
Okay. So that, and then is that it's a national organization. Yep. Okay. Cause that's something I've never even heard of, but I know it's a big deal out there of, you know, especially children nowadays going through mental illnesses and stuff like that and challenges. It's awesome. I didn't even know that existed. That's awesome to hear that.
Yeah. So we do a couple different support groups on a weekly support group on Monday nights. And then there's a monthly support group. That's more so for like families. If they have like a family member going through something, but yeah, it's really beneficial and it's definitely needed. As you know, working in education, like What's the statistic? There's like 50% of kids 8 through 15 have some sort of mental illness, but they're afraid to report it or afraid to act on it, or they're not getting any treatment because there's such a stigma around mental illnesses.
So. Sure. Yeah, you could be embarrassed too.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's kind of neat that you do all these things, and obviously you're a genuine dude. You're just a genuine dude that likes to help out his community, and that's what you need around a community, especially a small one like us. So that's awesome. What's your role at the Big Muddy Brewing Crew? Because that has been something that is just kind of, in the last few years, has just been like, it's been taking off, especially since they redid the levee down there. Now you have the band set up there. You got the whole eating contest. It's been pretty fun, and people come down there. It's so casual, too, which is very fun. It's not like, you know, Steamboat Days, you go there, you got the beer tent. Like, that is, it could be overwhelming. So for someone that doesn't want to be around loud music and a ton of people, there's a band up there, and come and go as you please. There's vendors here. There's vendors over there. So it's kind of spread out. What's your involvement in that?
2 years ago, I mean, I think I just signed up to volunteer, and I worked in the chamber trailer. And then this last year, they asked me to kind of help out with the planning. And so it was me and, you know, Paul and a handful of other people from the community kind of helping out with the planning stages, just making sure everything kind of worked out and the kind of lineups and just how everything was set up on the levee. So we met, you know, monthly basically, and then kind of a little more frequently once it got closer. And then the day of, I mean, I just helped out. I don't remember what I did. I think I worked in the chamber trailer. I worked up on the levee for a bit, and yeah, it's just fun. And it was beautiful weather too.
Oh, I know. A lot of background stuff you do though that people don't even see. This thing, it all, I know this because I have to run basketball tournaments and stuff for the school. So you see it after it's all done. You're like, oh, this came out really nice. You don't realize all the planning there is that's behind it, because sometimes it looks like, oh, that doesn't look that hard, when really it doesn't look that hard because we work so hard behind the scenes.
Yep, exactly.
So that's awesome. Now, I got a question for you, but going back to Culver's, because I remember going in there and there was a motorcycle in there. Hold on. Where'd that go?
The motorcycle is in my parents' garage.
That was a beautiful bike in there.
Yeah. So the new owners, I don't know if there was like talks of wanting to buy it. I don't really remember. It wasn't part of that. But yeah, so the bike came from Culver's. Every year would give a scholarship out, or number of scholarships out as a franchise to college students or incoming college students. And I'm trying to think. So it was the Culver's 20th anniversary, let's say. Is it 2000? No. 25 anniversary. I'm going to get it wrong, but whatever. It coincided with Harley's anniversary, 100-year anniversary. So maybe you know that better.
Okay, so Harley was, Harley came out in 1903.
Mm-hmm.
So 2003 would have been their 100-year. And I saw that bike in there, and I feel like it had some sort of anniversary date on it, but I don't know what it was for.
So I think it was 2013.
Could have been that then. That would make more sense.
So 2000.
That'd be the 110th year.
2014. But whatever it was, it coincided with Culver's anniversary and Harley's anniversary. Okay. So they put it up for auction, like an online auction, and all the proceeds went to this Culver Scholarship Foundation. And my parents, like, were lucky enough, and they actually won it. So I don't remember the exact price they paid for it. I won't divvy that out. But yeah, they put it, they were just coincided. They won it like the 1 year, and the next year they had to do a full remodel because Culver's had stipulations. You had to reinvest every so many years. So they remodeled their dining room, and they decided to put that one little thing in there to put the motorcycle in. I think the motorcycle still has 12 or 13 miles. We took in a couple Steamboat Days parades. that's probably about the only mileage, but it sits in my parents' garage all covered up. I don't know.
Is it custom to a call? Is it like a one off, or do they make multiple of these for different Culver's?
It's a one of a kind.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do with it?
I don't know. Yeah, you'll have to ask my stepdad.
Oh man, that was a sweet looking bike. It has such good colors to it too. And I every time I go in there, I'd look at it. I'm like, that's a neat looking bike in there. But I'm like, first of all, how to get in there? How'd you get it up into the display?
I mean, one of those glass walls came off, and they just ramped it up there.
No kidding.
I was there when we took it out. I wasn't there when we put it in, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the bike went along with you guys when you guys sold it off.
Yeah. And I talked to the new owners, and I know they're doing a remodel. I think like next year. So they're going to take that display case out, and I'm assuming put more seating or something. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they could have just done 120th year.
Right.
That would have been good. Because 2023.
And it's autographed too by the owners of Culver's or the founders of Culver's, Craig and Lee Culver, and then it's autographed by two of the Harley like descendants.
Oh no, that's even better. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes it better.
You didn't
even
read
better.
The sign, apparently, every time you went
I
in.
I did read the sign, and I thought I only saw the Culver's people on there. I didn't realize, oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, man, okay. Anyways, I was like, I was like bikes, dude. Right? I was like bikes. So that always caught my eye when I walked in there. Okay, so now you're saying that you're a father.
Correct.
Yeah, and you said you could give me some fatherly advice.
Oh, man.
Well, you say a four-year-old you have?
Yeah, Winston's four.
Winston's four. Is that the only child you got?
Correct.
Okay. How's the first 4 years going?
Enjoy the first 2 years, because after that, oh, man, watch out. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's awesome seeing a little version of yourself that, you know, does all these hilarious things and, like, you know, I don't know, it changes you as a person being a dad, or, like, it even changes, like, the people around you. Like, you know, my parents, like, they've changed tremendously since being a grandma and grandpa. Like, I'm assuming Rich is going to, like, transform into, like, the greatest grandpa in the world. I don't know. Hopefully.
Well, my dad loves kids. So, yeah, obviously, perfect. My mom does, too. He wants to get her a little car bed in here. I said, what a great thing to do, because then when she wants to clunk out, she can go lay in her car. And I said, well, maybe I can put some underglow on it or something. That'd be kind of cool. But it'd be so neat just to have a little car bed here, and when she's ready to clunk out, because we, like, coming up next week, well, actually, it'll be this Wednesday when people hear this, but when we have our Christmas party down here, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it'd be great when she's older and she can just go clunk out in her bed, and when she's tired and don't have to worry about not having a bed, and it goes with a theme in here. So.
Right. Yeah. First 2 years were great. I mean, our kid slept through the night pretty quickly, slept in his own bed really good and like pretty well behaved, and like, and since then, like, since he was, like, two, like, he doesn't always like to sleep in his own bed. And honestly, like, the last year, like, there's, like, Jekyll and Hyde. Like, doesn't, like, you know, you see that kid, like, throwing a fit in the store, and you're always like, oh, that's never going to be my kid. It's going to be your kid eventually. It's going to happen, unless you're, like, one of those parents that are like, I'm never taking my kid to a store or restaurant ever. Because there's parents like that, too. But, you know, as there's a... whatever everyone says, there's no book to parenting. There literally isn't, because every kid is completely different. I mean, there's so many phrases you say to your kid. You're just like, I'm never going to have to say this. And then you're like, hey, don't put your hand in the urinal. Hey, don't pick up the urinal mitt. Hey, don't put your straw in that hole in the ground and then pick it up and use it. Like, all these things you never thought you'd have to say, here you are. You know?
Oh, man. Don't touch the urinal mat. That's great. Well, yeah. I suppose it's right at eye level. So this looks great. It smells good, too, kind of-ish.
Yeah. There's so many things, though. But, you know, there's all those negative things. But then there's all those positive things where, you know, your kid says something that's just hilarious, just makes you bust a gut. Or, you know, he likes to watch old cartoons that I watched when I was a kid, like Tom and Jerry cartoons, you know.
Sure.
And he just laughs hysterically at, or, you know, the things that he can tell you. Or he'll tell you a story. I'm like, oh, how was daycare today? He's like... you know, he's like, oh, Big Harlan did this, and he'll go into a big rant about one of the kids at daycare. And sorry, Gavin and Christy, if you're watching this. But it's hilarious, you know, the stuff they do. So, I mean, it's always the good outweighs the bad, but just be prepared for those really big highs and really big lows as a parent. So,
you know what I used to watch when I was little? I used to watch Popeye. Yeah. I love Popeye, and that's why I got into spinach, because I saw the muscles grow with spinach. And so my grandpa, I always watched at his house for the most part, he had a garden. So I'd go out and just pick the spinach out and just keep eating it, because, I mean, it didn't taste great. Don't get me wrong.
A little dirt
on it, too. Yep. But no big deal, though. I was like, well, I want big muscles like Popeye. So just keep eating spinach is all I thought. And I ended up liking spinach, and I was one of the few kids that ever liked spinach. But I would still eat it. I don't like it, like, out of a can. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's gross.
But you get it to me out of, like, out of a garden or something, or put it on a sandwich. I love spinach. So that's one thing I picked up from old school cartoons, too.
There you go.
However, mine were in color. I didn't watch the black and white Popeye, I don't believe. So.
No, I don't think I did either.
But that was one of my favorites. So now, what's the biggest challenge in the first year of having a child? That's a tough one, huh?
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
Got to make your member back.
4 years
well,
ago.
You're going to luck out. You know, we had our kid during COVID, so that was a struggle. That was tough because it's like you couldn't have visitors and like...
Oh, sure.
You know, it was kind of weird. It was definitely a different experience. But I would say the toughest one is just get used to like a sleep schedule, you know, because the baby's going to be up certain hours of the night and like, you know, just hopefully like coffee. Because if not, you're going to start
drinking. I don't
drinking
like energy drinks.
Okay, perfect. You'll be set. Like, I don't know how our parents got through it with only coffee. If you don't like coffee, how'd you stay awake? I don't know. But
Four Locos.
Yeah. But, oh, man. Honestly, that was like the toughest part in that first batch. And, I mean, it's good. Hopefully, like, you know, you have a good schedule off of work. And hopefully your wife has a good schedule off of work for, you know, maternity leave and stuff. I mean, some people don't have that luxury. And luckily we did for both of, you know, my job and her job. So I think she took off June through August. She had all summer off. And I had like a whole month off. So it worked out good.
Yeah. And actually, when was your baby
Winston
born?
Was born in June.
June. And our...
Beginning of June too, so.
And our girl's at the end of May.
Yeah.
So for school, I'm off for that.
Right.
Obviously, real estate, you never know when that's going to be.
Right.
So. There'll be about the first three-ish months off, and then that'll be good to get acclimated, and then she'll have some maternity leave as well. Hopefully, I don't know, 6 weeks I think is the norm. I have no idea.
Yeah,
but yeah, weeks are pretty normal. At least I'll be there for if she does have to, because she works from home anyway, so
yeah.
No big deal. But at least I'll be there to change diapers or feed or whatever the heck it's got to be.
Yeah,
so that is nice that it's not going to be like in the middle of work, because I don't know how much males get off for maternity leave if they do at all.
Not much
if
depends
at
on the job. Like,
yeah,
like Benchmark, if we have another kid, Benchmark has some pretty good time off for parental leave, but it's not, you know, it's not like other countries where, like, you know, in like Europe you can get like a whole year off, it seems like.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
How do they pay the bills?
Different culture.
Different culture, I guess. Yeah, that's for sure. So sleep schedule, I gotta get on that, huh?
I'm sure there's a multitude of other things, but that's the one that comes to mind, honestly.
That's the one that I was thinking about, though, the most anyways, is like, how's sleeping going to work here? Because I'm a pretty light sleeper, so I guess I'll hear the baby at all times. But that was one thing. I'm like, how tired am I going to be for the first few months?
Yeah.
I think if I get past year one, that'll be the best.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it worked out good. Like, Winston would be up, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and I don't know, I was always one that I wanted, and I still am, like, I want to get up and help wherever I can. So I'd get up the same time she would get up, and, you know, we'd both be up helping and kind of tag-teaming whatever his needs were. I think that's super key, is, like, raising a kid is, like, co-parenting. Like,
yeah.
Every parent should get 50-50. I feel awful for those, like, moms that are out there and doing, like, 100% of the work, and the dad just, whatever. Just
here's some money.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
here's some money.
Like, you have a part of this kid's life, so, you know, help out.
Well, the one thing we thought we were going to have a boy because of the fact that she was doing all this research about.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, well, this wife still says this, that, the other thing. And so she was really thinking, oh, it's going to be a boy. This is going to be a boy. So we had boy names picked out and all that kind of stuff. Turns out, I go, you know what? Every time I think it's going to be one thing, it's something the opposite,
yeah.
And it's a girl. And I'm like, you know what? I get all these new challenges now. I get to, I mean, if she's into sports, fantastic. But she might be into totally different things. Like, maybe she's into doing band or lessons or music, or maybe she's into dancing or theater. I'm like, those excite me because I'm into that kind of stuff now,
yeah,
too. I mean, I love sports, don't get me wrong, but I've always, once I got into wrestling, I realized how much I like to do acting and theater type stuff because it's just fun. And then obviously being in front of a camera and doing this has been amazing too. I'm like, you know what? All these new challenges are going to be so much, maybe even more fun, because you kind of know what to expect when I have a boy. He's going to be probably like me, but who knows what the girl's going to be like. So I'm like, you know what? As much as we thought it was going to be a boy, I think these challenges for a girl is going to be amazing. So I don't know. How is it like raising a little boy though? Oh gosh, just a laugh. I love it.
I don't know. It's just awkward at times. I don't know if it's because he's like me or because he's like Molly, but I mean, like, he'll, you know, we go out to a store or whatever, and he has to go to the bathroom. He hasn't quite understood how to, like, not pull everything down, but no, he wants to use the urinal.
He's asserting dominance at the urinal.
Yeah, he literally drops trow everything, bare butt at the urinal. Okay, that's fine, whatever. But then when you're done, pull your pants up there. No, he like, you know,
had
pants around the ankles, shimmying over to the sink. I'm like, oh, dude.
This is not home.
No. And I'm like, you know, we're in Walmart and somebody's like, looking at him. I'm like, I'm sorry, sorry. And usually it's some dad. He's like, it's okay, I have kids too, you know. But yeah,
he's just letting it all hang out.
You're gonna luck out with the potty training, man, because you know it's not a fire hose. Like,
yeah,
that's the worst thing. Sorry, Winston, if you watch us down the road, but that's the worst thing with him. It's like, it's 0 to 60. There's no middle ground. So it's like, if he has to go to the bathroom, he has to go. And it's now it's not so bad, but it used to literally just be like an unkinked fire hose and just you know, which was good if he used the urinal.
That's great. At home, it wasn't so good.
Puppy pads came in handy. You hope?
No way, puppy pads.
Puppy pads. You lay them like all over your bathroom floor, yeah. Or you lay them underneath like the kiddie toilet, which might work out for a girl too. I don't know. Sure. But
yeah, well, yeah. She's just gonna sit the whole time, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's you know, I never even thought about that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so we'd buy the big puppy pads, lay them underneath the toilet, and then if they got wet, so be it. We just throw them away. Because, I mean, literally, like, every day you're cleaning the bathroom, and there's, like, our bathroom smelled like a nursing home.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, man. Well, maybe you should have got some of those pads for the urinal and stuck them around.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's hilarious. So do you ever look at your little boy and say, I used to do that, or that's one of my traits, I can see that? Or maybe even see it on Molly's, your wife's. Do you ever see him do something or well, maybe even look a certain way or laugh a certain way? Because sometimes I can catch myself. When I'll say a joke, I can tell I kind of laugh like my dad does.
Yeah.
I tell jokes like he does. And I've been told I do the same thing.
He does two things. If he doesn't get his way, say, for instance, like most days I pick him up, we pick him up from daycare. He says, can we go to Quick Trip or can we go to Nate and Allie's? Or his new thing is, can we go to Pizza Ranch or the Big Pizza Ranch? Because he wants to play Mario Kart there.
Of course. Why would you not? My wife wants to go in there. The fun zone.
Exactly.
You like to play the quarter game, though, where you slide the quarters down and it pushes the thing out.
Gambling for kids. It's great.
Yeah, and adult kids.
Yeah. But if he doesn't get his way, he stomps his foot. He just stomps. And even before he was born, my sister-in-law would always make fun of my wife for doing that when she was a kid. So the first time he did that, I'm like, oh no, like look at Molly. He's doing what you did. And she's like, sorry. But so he'll stomp his feet. But the other thing he does, and I don't know why he picked it up, if it's like a sensory thing. I don't think you can do it. I can't do it. But he folds the top part of his ear, tucks it into like right here, and it stays shut.
Oh yeah. Kids could do that. I remember back in the day.
I've never seen it, and he does it all the time.
I can't do it either. It doesn't
say. I was like, where did he get this from? And then my wife, she, you know, when she has long hair, it's usually down over her ears, and she tried it, and she could do it.
Oh.
And I'm like, did you do that when you were a kid? And she's like, I don't think so, but he does it all the time still. And it's, if no one sees it, if like you're in a store and somebody's like, is he okay? Yeah, it's just his.
It's cauliflower ear.
It's just the ear thing. I don't know. He does it with both ears. He used to be able to tuck the bottom part in too, but.
Yeah. You remember the kids that used to be able to flip their eyelids inside out?
Oh, that's creepy. No.
You don't remember?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my gosh. Kids, I remember they would go, they flip their eyelids out, and then you just see the reds underneath.
Oh, creepy.
It was kind of creepy looking, but I could never do that. And I was like, that's just kind of weird. But that's one of those traits, I guess. I don't know.
Kids do weird stuff.
They do. They still do. They do weird stuff still these days. Yeah, so.
You would
know. That's kind of neat, though, that you see that kind of stuff in your child. Now, does he look like one or the other of you?
I think he looks like a mix of us.
A mix?
Yeah.
There's some kids that are so distinguished, you can tell, oh, that's their kid. They look just like him.
Yeah, one of my buddies from high school sent me a Christmas card, and he has six kids? Yeah, six kids.
Oh, he's got an NBA team with one on the bench.
Yeah. And there's like three of his kids, two of the boys and one daughter that literally look like he did when he was a kid growing up, like to a T. And it's funny. I'm like, oh, I showed my mom, even without showing the name. I said, whose Christmas card is this? And she's like, oh, it's Tim Turbo's. I was like, yep.
Knew exactly who it was.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when you were starting to parent, was there one thing that you did really good at and one thing Molly did really good at? And you're like, she's got that and I got this because I'm just way better at that than she is, and she's way better at this than I am.
She has a stronger stomach, so if there was any bowel movements that were not contained, we'll say she could clean those up a little better. I'm usually one that would, like, something smells, I'm just, you know, she'll attest to that. So she was really good at that. And then, I don't know, I'm just entertaining, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. So I was better at entertaining him.
Sure.
I don't know. I can't think of anything offhand, but yeah, she definitely has the stronger stomach for cleaning up stuff. Or, you know, one of those times you've seen the story where, like, or the meme, like, did you go poop? And they turn around and it looks like there's a huge, like, you know,
yeah,
something in their diaper, and they're like, no, I didn't go. Yeah. Like, I can never do those either. Ugh.
So, one thing my wife always says that I'm really good at with kids, because obviously she sees it when I'm teaching.
Yeah.
She says that I have a lot of patience with children because she's also got a niece and a nephew. Granted, her niece is now 18, but the nephew is now 10 and a half years old. And he's basically been in my life since day one, because mm-hmm. when we first started dating, he was born literally a month later. And so she always said I had really good patience. So I'm hoping that stays true as we do this process of raising a child, because that's one thing I sometimes think I don't have, but she says otherwise. So that's,
you work in education, I would assume you have pretty good patience.
Yeah, I have a lot of patience with the older kids. The younger kids, they get on my nerves. I don't know. Well, so that's why I'm hoping that this stays true. And maybe because it'll be my child, it'll be a little different. I don't know.
We shall see.
We shall see, because it's going to be a whole different lifestyle change, my mom says. So I'm like, yep, and I'm sure it will be, and I look forward to that as well.
Yeah.
So now, does your wife do a lot of volunteering with you? Because I always notice that she's at most of the events that you're at, she is right next to you all the time.
Yeah, she likes to help out in the community as best as she can. I mean, it's she does a few things with, like, the wine sampling. You know, working at Merchants is a big, you know, on giving back to the community. So she does a lot with them. She's helped out with, like, 10 Days of Giving a lot in the past. She took on a new role at the bank. It's not as, you know, she's still pretty new to it, I guess. So it's not as flexible on the schedule to do stuff. But she did Meals on Wheels, I know. And I think she still does a little bit with that. But she lets me do stuff out in the community and watches our kid. And when the both of us are out, it's helpful. My parents still live in town, so they'll babysit. So
yeah, okay, that's awesome. So as we're starting to wind down here, I want to know a little bit more about Tim, the not at work, not the dad, not the volunteer. What does Tim like to do outside when he does have? Because it doesn't sound like you have any free time, but when you do have free time, what are the interests that you're into?
I don't know. We live in a smaller house, and our yard is pretty small, but I found probably in the last, I don't know, 5 years, you know, I really like to be outside at our house. So, you know, if it's gardening, just doing yard work, I always think of yard work as work, but, or some people might think of it as work, but I really like to mow the lawn and, you know, do some weeding, tried to plant stuff. Like, trying to grow a vegetable is kind of, I don't know, really fulfilling, because it's like you plant something and it actually, like, turns out and grows and doesn't just die. I wouldn't say I have a green thumb, but I don't have a black thumb, so I like doing that. And in the winter time, like, shoveling snow, I actually like to do. You know, it's a good workout, and it's just nice to get outside. I don't know. I like to have a few cocktails every now and again.
Sure.
We do a lot of, like, wine and beer sampling.
Oh, you go to some of those, like beer tours, and the ones that you're not working at, you go to some of those?
Yeah.
Awesome. Which ones do you go to?
The most recent one I did, like, a brewery tour was was Coors. We were out in Colorado.
Oh, really?
In November, and did the Coors brewery tour. But I've done, like, Budweiser. I've done a lot of the big ones. But then, like, craft breweries, like you said, New Glarus is a lot of fun. We did that for my bachelor party in 2016. Yeah, 2016. But yeah, any of that stuff is kind of fun. Going to El Morro, there's a little winery we like back home called Spurgeon Winery in Highland, Wisconsin, literally a teeny tiny winery. But it's Molly's favorite wine. It's honestly, like, my favorite wine. They make a oh geez, you're gonna kill me for not remember the name. But it's a, they make a, can't think of it.
I won't kill you because I don't know.
I know, but Molly will kill me. She'll be like, I can't believe you can't think of it. Earplugs. But they make a winter spice or a Halloween spice wine from their one wine, Ruby Lady. And it's just awesome. It tastes like a mulled wine in a bottle. So good. And I never drank wine until like we got together. But sure. Yeah, that kind of stuff I like doing. And then like traveling to see my friends. I have one friend back home in Wisconsin that's, he's really good at planning stuff. So he'll plan different events and like we'll all get together and hang out. So, and then we have like another friend that lives out in Colorado now, and he planned like a whole, him and his wife planned. So we all went out there in November. There was 9 of us in total that went out to Colorado and all hung out for a weekend. So it was fun.
Do you like, when you go to these places, you said you kind of get into wine now, as I am, I can deal with wine, basically, is what it is. Mm-hmm. So if we go to a winery, I'm like, oh, I can find something I like, but it's not my first choice.
Yeah.
If you had to go to a brewery, winery, distillery, which one are you picking?
If they only exclusively sold like one type?
Yep.
I would say a brewery probably, just because if it was a brewery like 20 years ago, no way, because everything was going to be like really cut and dry, like one flavor.
Sure.
But now there's so many different options. Most breweries you go to, like you go to Two Fathoms, they have, you know, their normal kind of, you know, your beers, but then they always have something a little kind of out there that you can try. They have like the seltzers now. Yep. A lot of breweries are getting into, so you can try that if you're not feeling beer. Yeah, I would say a brewery.
That's what I would go with too. I like the breweries. Mm-hmm. I like the atmosphere on most of them. There's some of them you go into, they seem very commercialized, which it is. That's great too.
Yeah.
Or there's some of them that you go into, like you go into Two Fathoms or something like that. Or another one I like to go to is Sylvan in Lanesboro. And yeah, they got character to them. They have history in them, which is the neat thing about some of them too. So I would have to choose that as well. I like those kinds of things. Breweries are my number one. I like to drive there, motorcycle there, whatever it is. But you can only have like a little taster.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you shouldn't be driving.
Right. Riding a bike, and some of them are a little heavier too. Like if you're drinking an IPA or a stout and it's like 13-14%, like, yeah, it knocks you on your butt.
Oh, no kidding. And then they're like, that's like a wine right there, but wines only get like 6 ounce pours, not 16 ounce pours.
Right.
So yeah, that's great. So you like to do yard work. Do you have the dad shoes then? Do you have the New Balances for your yard work?
No.
What?
I have gotten into like wearing a tank top, my Uncle Steve always wore tank tops, and I'm like, I should wear tank tops, and he'd do yard work in them. I'm like, oh, I should get a tank top. So I got a nice Mario, like made in the 80s tank top.
Yeah.
But I think for shoes, I don't know. I just wear whatever. Funny story about yard work though. So here you go. This one will be a good one. So we have the two dogs, right? We have a dog, both of them are from the Humane Society. Well, one of the dog was being a little jerk and got out one day when I was doing yard work. We have like backyards all fenced in, but he got out of like the screen door. And I'm in a tank top and athletic shorts. I think I had shoes on. Yeah, I had shoes on because I was doing yard work. He gets across the street. Mind you, he's a 70-pound like blue heeler mix. He's not small, but he's not huge. No leash though. So I'm like, okay, Edgar, come on. Come on, let's get home. He won't listen to me. The neighbor across the street, she's like, oh, do you need help? I was like, no, I'll get him. So I pick him up and I put it like pretty much like a baby. So his hind legs are here. His front legs are on my shoulders. I had a tank top on because he scratched the crap out of my shoulders. Well, he's all pissed at me that I'm lifting him up. He starts kicking his back feet. My shorts fall down. My shorts are on my ankles. You know, I had boxers on. Shorts are on my ankles. And the neighbor's sitting there watching me laughing. And I'm like, that's fine. And so I just shimmy across the street with my 70-pound dog over my shoulder and get him in the house. And yeah, luckily, we live on a very quiet street.
So you and Winston had the same experience. You pulled your pants down. Yeah. Well, actually, you didn't. Your dog did, right down to your ankles.
Yeah. I text Molly, and I was like, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened. And I was like, oh, man.
So there you are shimmying across the street, just like your son.
Yeah.
Shimmying across the bathroom.
Oh, man. So there you go.
That's great. Yeah. What kind of vegetables you grow, or which ones actually? Okay, which ones do you grow, and then which one have you liked to grow the most? So you're like, ooh, that came out really well.
Cucumbers,
all right.
Because they literally like took over. Winston helped plant. So what did he plant? He planted like sugar snap peas. And like, I love those. Like, eat, so like you're talking about the spinach, eating them right out of the garden, the sugar snap peas.
Oh, I love those too.
But they were, he planted them. So there were some over here, some over there. So they're all over the place. And then we planted just, I think, like mixed greens and grape tomatoes. And I don't know, the cucumbers turned out the best because you can use them for a multitude of stuff. You know, like we just eat them, like slice them up. We'd make homemade tzatziki sauce with them, make pickles with them. You know, you can use them for a multitude of stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Well, Tim, is there any more you'd like to add? Anything about Tim that we should know?
I would like to gift you one more thing.
Oh, you got a gift for me. I love it. What have we here? Is it the motorcycle?
It is not the motorcycle. So I have some more Drink Wisconsinably stuff.
All right, Drink Wisconsinably.
Some stickers, some koozies.
Oh, and this dude, these go right on my beer cooler for the boat.
There you go.
Yep, we love
some
these.
Some coasters, oh, coasters, and then a koozie. As you know, Wisconsin, jump around. So something new to jump around about, Drink Wisconsinably.
What does that mean? Something new to jump around. What's that?
Do you not know Jump Around?
I know Crisscross Jump Around, yeah. Yeah. Is this like a theme song that Wisconsin has now? Or is it for the Badgers?
Yeah, it's like the Badgers.
Oh, see, I don't watch Badger football,
between
so I'm sorry.
Third and fourth quarter, they always play Jump Around.
No kidding. Okay, so now that makes sense. So something new to jump around to, and that is the vodka cocktails. And we have ourselves these. Dude, these taste just like Old Fashioned.
Right? And I got a t-shirt for you.
Oh, and a t-shirt.
So it's the same shirt I have on. So,
oh, nice.
A quick story about educators. So this phrase that's on this shirt, it's a great day to have a great day.
Yep.
I had a high school soccer coach say this to me. This has been 21 years ago, 2002, and it stuck with me ever since then. So, you know, about positive words of affirmation, you know, like whatever you want to say to kind of get yourself amped up for the day. I say this phrase to myself almost every day. It's a great day to have a great day.
Yep.
Even if it's raining, it's stormy out, it's still a great day to have a great day. You're here. People care about you. And I kind of like use this as like for mental health too.
Sure.
So hopefully you're a large.
I'll make it work.
There you
and
go.
It even says Vodak on it. So you made these yourself?
I did not make those. Jose Pelez made the...
No, I mean like you came up with the idea?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So someone obviously made the shirts for you, but this is your idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brand when you were giving me this. Mm-hmm. Like someone, this is something. Okay, that's awesome.
So yeah, my high school soccer coach, Matt Callahan, would always say that. And I always thank him for saying that.
Sure.
And then this last year, I asked Jose to make stickers so I could like hand out stickers to people at like schools and stuff. So he made stickers. And then Corey Tomish made these shirts for me. So,
well, that's awesome. You know, one thing, you know, going back to what you said, you know, every day you say, you know, it's a great day to make it, have a great day. I always tell my students when it's a bad day, they might be having a bad day, I say, wake up and say, I get to do this rather than I have to do this or I got to go do this. Mm-hmm. Because I said, there's someone out there that is thinking to themselves, they wish they were in your shoes.
Yep.
They could be mentally handicapped or they could be physically handicapped that wish they could go do whatever that is that you're going to do that you may not want to do or you may not love to do. So I always say, tell yourself, I get to go do that, because that's what I do with podcasting every time. I'm like, well, I might be a little tired today, but I get to go do this because I absolutely love it. That's for one thing. But also, there's someone in my shoes that probably wishes they could do something.
Exactly.
As to whatever you're doing or I'm doing or anybody else is doing. So this is actually an awesome shirt. I love this. It's a good idea. And I didn't know it was yours. I just thought it was like a brand.
I just got them. Corey just sent them to me this week. So I was like, I'm going to wear one today and I'll give you one. So.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. This is awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on and bringing us some brandy old fashions, because this is the easiest way to have a brandy old fashioned, so we don't have to get all the ingredients and mix them all together. I had a guy come on here to make old fashions one time back in the spring, and we had all these different ingredients, but this is just an all-in-one deal.
Well, it worked good for the boat.
Oh, dude, yes. Well, these will be gone before the boat ever happens. These will be gone probably by Christmas, because I'm going to give some to some friends that like some old fashions, because I know I have some. I think my mom and my dad will like to have a taste of this, because my grandma loved old fashions, and I like old fashions as well. And my mom always says, I think you get your taste from your grandma, because she always liked the brandy old fashioned as well with her dinner. So this tastes darn near the same thing, except without the ice. So I love that. But anyways, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on one more time. It is a great day to have a great day. I will agree with that. And for all of those people out there listening, you can subscribe or you can like or comment or leave a 5-star review on any streaming platform that has podcasts. Or if you want to see Tim and I having a lovely time with our brandy old fashions, you can go on YouTube and actually watch us, because we're beautiful. But this has been another episode of Brews and Crews, and I want to thank Tim one more time by giving him one big cheers before we head out. Man. Have a great week.